Bless you, Lord. It's great to be challenged during worship, don't you think? Just a little. Just a little. The Spirit of God is here today. I can feel His presence. I'm thankful because we need Him. Lord, You know we need You. Without You, we truly are lost. With You, we're found. We've become sons and daughters of the Most High. We're able to finally receive revelation and impartation. We need You so much, Spirit of God. We ask that You would continue to speak to us, that this wouldn't be an interruption to what has already taken place in our hearts, but it would just add to. Father, You would just speak to us and it would add to what's already stirring in our hearts, what's already challenging us, bringing us to the place of refreshing repentance, and spurring us on to do the good works that You've laid out for us after our salvation. That we embrace those as well as You in salvation, and we embrace a life of intimacy with You. That we truly will be ministering to people out of a well and not out of an empty place, not out of a desert, but out of fertile ground, Lord. We bless Your name. We need You every moment. I pray that You would convince us that You're good. Convince us that You have unconditional love toward us. Convince us, Father, that we truly are valuable to You. Convince us, Father, that we can let down our guard and be vulnerable and still be loved by You and by the leaders that love You. Help us, Father, to see today what You've been trying to speak to us about. Release today what we've been holding on to that's unholy. Just because we are falling more in love with You, we want to release it. We're not looking for benefit beyond just loving You. All the reward is up to You, Lord. But we release it, whatever we've been hanging on to, Father. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's unholy alliances. Maybe it's negativity. Maybe it's habits. Maybe it's sins that we've decided are just too good to let go. Father, wash us today. Wash us in a new way so that we see things the way You see things. And we agree. We agree that the narrow way, which is really a broad pasture, is the best way because You're in it. You empower us. You give to us. You love us so much. You make even the narrow way a broad and green pasture with living water. Father, help us embrace what You embrace today. Clean us out, Lord. Refresh us. Change our thinking, Lord. Entrenched thinking. Change it. Give us Your thoughts. Capture our minds, Lord. capture our hearts, capture our souls, capture our actions, capture our attitudes, Lord, that we would give up, that we would lay down what is hurting us from the inside out, and we would embrace you, embrace what you love. Thank you, Jesus. We know you can do that in all of us today. We open ourselves up to that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I have a statement to read, so you'll have to pay real close attention at the beginning. I don't always say that. I'm usually joking around at the beginning to kind of get you in, you know, loosened up just a little bit. But today I have a statement to read. If you listen very carefully at the beginning, then you're going to be engaged to help us out all the way through. How's that sound? Might even call on some of you or ask you to read a scripture or who knows. Here's the statement. There is one state, not one of the 50 states, or a nation identified on a physical map that you want to increasingly avoid living in during your lifetime. Got a pop here. It's popping. Popping. Is it supposed to be popping? I may need to take it down a bit. Wow. Can you still hear me? If you hear a pop, just raise your hand so I can get rid of this thing. Start over. There is one state, not one of the 50 states, or a nation identified on a physical map that you want to increasingly avoid living in during your lifetime. It has affected a diverse group of people in the Bible, from our original parents, Adam and Eve, to Sarah and Abraham, all four who questioned and doubted that God knew best. Then there is King Saul, who was disobedient, received an ambassador from that country, and he took residence there. Even David, despite an intimate walk with God, as evidenced by the Psalms, found himself confronted by the prophet Nathan, who pointed out with a parable that David had become a citizen of this unholy zip code after he had a husband killed to take his wife as his own. Peter was a resident of this land at some points in his journey. Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." And the Apostle Paul rebuked Peter for hypocrisy. Judas accepted payment of 30 pieces of silver to keep his passport in this land. Simon the sorcerer felt he could buy the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 8, so he definitely lived there until he repented. Ananias and Sapphira, their greed and lying to the Holy Spirit led to their deaths because they flew this evil flag. Every unbeliever resides there, along with Satan, all his demons, false prophets, false teachers, and the Antichrist. What do you suppose the name of this state is? Let's raise hands so I can point to people. That might help. I hear voices, but I don't know who to point to. Okay. Louder. Okay. Fear, self-centeredness. Louder. Sin.
Rebellion.
Unbelief.
Revenge. Or vengeance.
Wow.
Or payback.
Man, Paul, that's what I like. Three answers in one. Anything else? Okay, of course, all these are right. Aren't you glad? But it's the land of deception, which incorporates all these things. Who's the ruler of the land of deception? Okay, the father of lies. I have that verse down. John 8:44. He's a liar and the father of lies. It's Satan, it's the devil, it's Beelzebub. Who are the ambassadors?
Demons.
Saints. Sorry?
The saints?
That's why I have to be listening. Got to be listening. We're in a different land, my man. Demons. That was what his answer was. I'm sorry. Raise your hand if you have something to say. I hear voices.
The villains.
Villains.
Maybe people, maybe Troy, maybe right in part, that maybe it's people, Christians that have fallen prey to deception and thus fallen into that.
She bailed you out. Okay, unbelieving believers. Right? I mean, when Jesus wanted to go to the cross and Peter said, no, he's going to the wrong land, isn't he? Because despite what it looked like, the cross was going to be a wonderful thing. It was going to be the thing that saved all of mankind. And he happened to miss it on that point. So he visited the land of deception and was told in no uncertain terms, get behind me. In other words, follow me. Not what your human thinking, human wisdom tells you. You're acting like Satan in this regard. Even though Satan was deceived and wanted Jesus to go to the cross. It's an interesting little thing, but... Okay, who else are ambassadors? Satan and demons are of the spiritual world. There's some in this physical world. Yes, sir.
Commercials.
Most commercials. Okay. That's very true, isn't it? Part of the land of deception. Some of them are funny, but still in the land of deception. Sorry? Okay, religious spirit, that would definitely be an ambassador. Okay, unbelievers are actually subjects. Subjects of the land. There's some other ambassadors, in other words, leaders. Professors? Oh! May it never be! I would say subjects, unless they fall into a certain category. If they're discovery professors, rather than this is the way it is professors, how about false teachers? False prophets. Now, just because someone gives a prophecy that is not quite right on, that doesn't make them a false prophet. Depends on their heart. Isn't that right? If they're saying, this is what I'm hearing from God, and others come along later and say, don't think so. Maybe senior leaders say, I'm not sure about that. There may be some adjustment. Go back to Holy Spirit. Ask a second time. That's all we're asking. It's not like, whoa, you're out of here. You gave a prophecy that was, in part, not quite right. Isn't that right? I mean, otherwise, no one would say anything. Everybody would be like, oh boy, I better not say that. It might not be God. you know, be kind to people that maybe they are struggling to quote a scripture and they don't quite quote it exactly. You know, that's grounds for dismissal in some places. I think God even has a little bit of grace there. He knows the person's not trying to do that. They're trying to share their heart. So let's treat them with the grace that we would treat ourselves. Oh, I don't know where that scripture is, and it goes something like this. We don't want people to say, well, he didn't quote it exactly, so he doesn't care about scripture. He doesn't care about the accuracy of scripture. You know, read people's hearts. If they're trying to twist scripture, you'll know it. You will know it. If you're tied in with Holy Spirit, you will know it. If they're trying to lead people into deception, God gives us the discernment through Holy Spirit. Gives us His Word to line things up with, to find out who's leading into deception and who isn't. Okay, the subjects are unbelievers, and we've discussed some of these already. Unbelieving believers. Weak believers that choose to stay weak. I'm not talking about when you're weak, you're strong. I'm talking about weak. They choose to stay in a state of being deceived in many different areas. They have all the resources available, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, godly leaders that they could go to, other Christians that they respect that are following Jesus, and yet they decide, no, I like this little lifestyle over here, and so I'm going to keep it. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the Bible says. In fact, I don't spend much time in the Bible because every time I do, I run across that thing that tells me to get away from what I'm doing. But I like it. I'm going to hang on to this, and I'm still going to, you know, show up at church and hope that something good falls on me. Well, something good might fall on you. Holy Spirit might convict you. That's one of His jobs. Love you into a better place. But you also might come to church thinking, church has sanctified me. As long as I just show up, God puts a little notch up there, puts a little sign that I've been to church this week, and He's going to bless me. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, just interesting to me. You know, this is a book about love. How many know that? 1 John, you think of all the verses on love. But take a look at verse 5, chapter 1. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God has never visited the land of deception. He's never been deceived for one millisecond, one nanosecond, ever. He's truth. Can't be deceived. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Wow. This is a book on love. If we say we walk in the light and we're actually walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. In other words, we're in deception. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's possible, very possible, that this morning in here, all of us have in one way or another deceived ourselves about something. We have the Spirit of Truth inside of us, and yet, in some way or another, we're deceived. We have some lies that we've comforted ourselves with. We've wrapped ourselves around them. We've had difficulty getting over the hump. When people say, God is good. Yes, yes. Oh, God is good. God is good. And then we struggle when we get home. If He's so good, then why is this situation in my life? If He's so good, why hasn't this turned around? Why hasn't this prodigal come home? Why can't I stop this habit? Why do I feel that I'm always disappointing God? There's a way out. We'll get to that. There's a way out of that. Some of us might be thinking, well, I know God's good. I know they say He loves me. But my performance is so bad, He's got to be disappointed to the max in me. I've got to run. I am Jonah, and I run. I am Jonah, and I run. I run. I run. People reach out to love me. I don't want them to put their arms around me. I want to be just outside their grasp. I'll deal with it with God. I'll figure it out with God. But He couldn't love me as much as they say because my performance is horrible. They may believe it when they're in fellowship with other believers that are cheering on that God is good. But in their own privacy, they struggle. A person struggles. And they don't let anyone else know. They've entered into the land of deception where they've grabbed onto a lie. And they believe it despite the truth. What sets you free? And who is the truth?
Jesus.
And we want as much of Jesus as we can get. I mean, we all know the answers. We can fill in the blanks. If I passed it out without even telling you anything, you could fill in those blanks. But it's not in filling in the blanks and having the right answers. It's in believing it when it's tested by life. So let's start with the fact that each one of us has lies that we need to get rid of. Some of those lies have led us to a destructive lifestyle of some kind, to one degree or another. Maybe we control people, and we've recognized that being around, you know, other believers that are trying to go after God. We've recognized that in ourselves. I try to control things. I try to control people. I want to get rid of that, but I just feel I have to do that. I just have to control. It's wrapped around a lie. That if I let God control things, I feel out of control. Well, repent. Repent, right? When I show too much control at home over Pastor Mary Pat, or try to, there are many things that come to my mind, to my heart, to my soul. What are you doing? This is the old Bill. Why are you trying to control here? Why are you trying to stand on your haunches? I'm not doing that. I'm not going that way. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to do that. Make bold statements. And then recognize, wow, there's a lie going on here. There's a lie. If I recognize it right away, I can ask for forgiveness and move ahead in the relationship and actually listen to what she's saying to me rather than thinking she's trying to get me to do something or get me to say something or go after a certain person or help them out. And I don't want to do that right then. And so I jump on the control wagon. But I'm there by myself. Father doesn't join me there. Holy Spirit wants me to be pulled off of that wagon. First John 2, verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar! Wow. And the truth is not in him. This book is about love. But these statements are in there. I know you, Lord, but I want to do my own thing when no one's looking. I know you, God. I worship you when other people are looking. But in the secret place of my heart, I'm doing my own thing. I have my own little lifestyle going on that only a few people recognize at first, but will soon be on display for everyone. You know, that's what happens, right? You try to keep something secret, and it's shouted from the mountaintops eventually. You know, the first time Tom came here and saw all the Mount Union students, and he thought about some of the things that he had taught. Some of the things were shouted from the mountaintops, kind of thing. But now, since he went through that process, he's in a great place, teaching signs and wonders at Mount Union College. Incredible what God can do. Things that I used to teach in front of people like this in other churches in the past, so adamant about it, so self-righteous about it, suddenly those things have changed. And I believe the very things that I was going up against. And I had the good scholars behind me, and I had a whole slew of verses. We're big talkers. But we need him so much to root out the lies in us. And you know how he does it? He does it with the truth. He doesn't sit there and point fingers at us, and he shows us more of himself. He has so much grace on us, even when we're off. So this morning, we want any small lies in any of us be swallowed up by the truth. You should be smiling. Some of you are looking a little bit, you know, whoa, I didn't know I was coming to this. It's hot in here after all. Can't you lighten it up? How about a little bit of the Father's love, huh? Lies being swallowed up in the truth is a great thing. You know, some people know that how you come across. They actually pick up on it. There are people who are prophetic in here. People who have discernment. And if you're coming across in kind of a strong way or controlling way or whatever, they may actually know the lie within you. And they love you anyway. Or you come across in a fearful way. They may know it in this body. Are you okay with that? Are you trusting people here love you enough that you could have a little lie inside of you and it comes out on your lips or your face or something you do and they accept you anyway and they try to lead you to a higher place, a better place? Isn't that what church is all about? Isn't that what church is all about?
Yeah.
It's meeting together, not just so we can say, I was there Sunday. That's me. I was there, God. but rather that each one of us is helping the other one root out little lies. Do you take that responsibility in the body? I mean, it's called love. You don't have to, you know, like point things out real strongly to people as they go out the door. You just love a person, share the truth in love, and people change. I don't remember taking anyone to the side and beating them just because I'm called pastor here. Most of the things I would say to you are going to be rather subtly said. You have to kind of pick it up in the spirit. Sometimes it's a little more direct, if I'm led to do that. But we're constantly trying to correct the lies in each other. You have corrected lies in me, and you don't even know it, by some of the things that you've shared, some of the prophetic things that come out of your mouth that you're even wondering if they're from God. They've challenged me to the max, and I've changed. There were some things shared Friday night into Saturday morning. Just challenged the socks off of me. And that's when I was sleepy. Wow! That's good stuff. Did I ever get to verse 4? Yes, I did, didn't I? Tell me I did. Thank you. Let's go to verse 22. Same chapter, 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoa. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. It's a book on love. Wow. Denies Jesus is the Christ. Now, is that like a Muslim or Buddhist or Mormon, Jehovah's Witness? You know, they all deny Jesus is who he says he is. Or is that some of us that by grabbing onto a lie, some lie that we have, or many little lies, or one big lie, you know, you choose, that we are denying all that Jesus has done for us? You know, fear should be repented of. And it's a refreshing repentance. It's a happy repentance. It's a good thing to repent of fear. Fear of the future. Fear of what might happen to a loved one that we're caring about and they're not caring about themselves. They're throwing themselves to the wind. And we're concerned. But if that concern goes into fear, that's not going to be helpful to the process. We're going to be sowing into their problem. How many heard that? We're going to be sowing into their problem if we have fear. If we have some lie about whether God cares about them, we're going to be sowing into their problem, not helping them. We have to stand on the rock, believe that He cares about every person, and He wants all to come to repentance so that He can give all His good gifts to them. And hang on to that. Let it be an anchor in our life. Not question whether God loves any person or is going after them the way we want Him to. First John 4:20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Gee, sounds like the great commandment. The great commandment. Love God with All your heart, soul, might, strength, depending on your version. Soul, strength, might, and love your neighbor as yourself. It says here, if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you're not showing that you love God. So if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. Wow. That's pretty strong. What's it mean for us? You know, if you're jealous of someone because of their spiritual progress or their ability to do worship or their ability to explain things from the Word or on and on and on, you're not showing love for that person. You're not wanting them to increase. You want them to kind of stay where they're at so you can pass them up. That's jealousy. That's not loving someone. Now think about it. Bill Johnson doesn't teach here. We teach here. We were jealous of Bill Johnson because he just nails it every time. He just knows how to express it. If you don't know who Bill Johnson is, you know, pick your favorite Bible teacher outside of here. You know, or if one of the people that speak for us and speak to this body or whatever. Let's say that people are raving about their message. You know, and I give one on the whole loaf and everybody goes, oh boy, when's he going to come up with something good? But they're raving about this other guy or other gal. And I suddenly become jealous of that. They should be raving about my stuff. And forget that God was the one that downloaded it to all of us, to all those speakers. And they might not exactly say it just right, but if we know their life and we care about who they are, we might have a few questions to ask them, and they might even admit, oh yeah, I got that scripture very carefully. You know, there have been times that I've spoken and I said, wait a minute, is that what that really said? So on Monday afternoon, I'm thinking, is that what that really said? And I read it over and I'm like, oops, that wasn't quite right on. I hope they didn't miss taping it that week. That's the fallacy of man, but do you read the heart? Do you read the heart of the person sharing? And when they come up, or when you come up and ask them a question about their message, are they shook up about it? Or are they trying to honestly answer? You know, I really didn't look that scripture up very well. You're right. Hey, we should mention that. We should correct that little mistake. But what about the rest of the message? Was it good stuff? Did it hit your heart? Are they loving you? Are they loving others? You can tell from the walk of their life. You notice that we don't just let anybody speak up here? I mean, we do when there's a sharing time or whatever. But I'm just saying, you know, during this time, we don't just let anybody come up here. Why is that? No one knows? What's that? We might even trust them. I mean, it's one of my favorites. We ask Holy Spirit. He identifies people. Sometimes I'm shocked. Really? You want that person to speak? I was shocked when I was asked to speak the first time. Many years ago, before this church was around. You want me to speak? My first thought was, I teach elementary children. That's the only level I know how to speak at. What's that going to sound like? And I remember speaking on heaven, or actually, I spoke on hell first, and I spoke on heaven. And my wife left me. wow, this speaking stuff is kind of serious. So you see why we ask Holy Spirit. Because you get a big target placed on your life. The enemy targets you if you're willing to speak out the truths of God. Some people are not ready to stand in that place and take the hits that might come. And Holy Spirit knows that. He knows. So there might be 20 people in here that, I got something from God. When I get a chance, I'm gonna speak it. They're gonna ask me. I know they will. What if they never do? Are you gonna love? Are you gonna trust that they're asking Holy Spirit? Well, I've spoken in other places and they won't even let me speak there. Are you trusting that they're asking Holy Spirit and they're asking seriously because there will be a target drawn on you? That's part of loving others. There's another one. I guess I should do that one just to finish up. 1 John 5. 10 and 11. This is about unbelievers. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Believing God. So unbelievers can step into that problem if they don't believe God. Remember when Jesus was talking about eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and many disciples left him. Remember that? Many disciples couldn't handle it, and they left. What was the problem? Unbelief. Just because they didn't know what he was talking about, they decided, this is screwball. I'm out of here. It was unbelief. And he turns to the disciples. And Peter, for once, came up with something really good. Well, he did it more than once. But are you leaving too? No. Only you have the words of eternal life. See, this morning we have to decide whether we want God to identify those little lies in our life. We want to say, well, maybe that person over there has some, but I don't sense I have any going on in my life. If we truly want him to identify those things in our lives that could become entrenched, become a stronghold, become a lifestyle, then we're going to have to ask him, aren't we? What in me is a lie this morning? And how are you going to root it out, Lord? Let the truth swallow it up in me. Let me see it clearly. Let me respond to you in more than just a general worship of you and a heartfelt worship of you, but actually follow through and let you wash these lies out of my life. And be open to letting others identify those lies in my life. Think of David, he's king. Shoot, thinks he's pretty cool with God. I mean, he's writing the Psalms. You know, 150 of them, or, you know, maybe not all of them he wrote, but he's really writing it up a storm, got a close relationship with God. Some of those are the most intimate scriptures in the Bible. And yet he doesn't even know how deep of a lie he has believed. How he's put a hand in the face of God. I'm not going to talk about this one. I'm not going to think about this one. I'm just going to act. On what? Lust. Whoa! King David? How could it happen? You know, there's always talk about him, well, it was the season for kings to go to war and he didn't go to war. And there's your problem, didn't go to war. What are you doing staring at women taking baths? That's a little bit of a problem. Whether you're at war or you're not at war. And then to act on it. Bring her to the palace. One of those guys, you know, they had to bring her, you know. They like walk in, they're like, you got to come with us. Could you put something on, please? You got to come with us. King wants to see you. Well, he's already seen you, I guess, but... Now, think about them. They've been seeing this King David and God's protection on him, God raising him to the kingdom, king of the kingdom, and now he wants an unclothed woman to come with them to the palace. And then later on, take him to the front lines, Uriah, take him to the front lines to see if we can have an arrow or a spear go through this guy. Why? So he can have his wife. Oh, King David. Can you see what I'm saying this morning? Any of us can have deception, have little lies, and we don't want them to grow. We want them to be swallowed up by the truth. We don't want earthly wisdom to take over. We want heavenly wisdom to take over. And we have every opportunity. We have the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Not just to spend time, but let it change you. Let it get inside of you. Let it be something that purifies your natural wisdom and makes it heavenly wisdom. There comes a point where you start getting a thought and you say, okay, if that's from me, it's probably the opposite of what God wants. I start out there. This might not line up with what God wants because it hasn't gone through Holy Spirit yet. I haven't let it go through the grid of Holy Spirit yet. I haven't let it go through the Word of God yet. So this might be my thought. If I act on this and it's not God, I'm already starting to veer a little bit off the path. Right? And another step and you're farther off. And God will let you go. You take that first step, hey, no lightning. You know it's wrong. You know it's not according to what heavenly wisdom says. But nothing happened. No punishment. No frying. I'll take a second step. But the second step is usually a slide. And it may take you years to get back up. A slippery slope, because you took the second step. That's why, from a father's heart this morning, I'm asking each of us, ask him, what little lies in me are there? What little lies in me? You know, I'm guarding my heart. I'm really not looking at that beautiful girl in the congregation. I'm guarding my heart. Let's see. I wonder if I can get her number so I can text her. Who has her number? I'll just send a friendly little text. You know, brother to sister. Little Facebook thing. Want to be my friend? I want to be your friend. I got 5,412 friends, but I need you. See, it's not, you know, it could be innocent, could be just, oh, no, you're just trying to encourage little sister. Or it could be just a little lie wrapping yourself around. I have to take action here because there are others that are looking at the same person. I have to take action. I have to move ahead. I have to put my best foot forward. Dress in my coolest clothes and do my hair just right. Just little things. Just little things. Not harmless. They're just kind of harmless. You know, harmless until a bunch of them come together. And then it's a little bit more of a step. It might end up okay. But wouldn't it be better to ask Holy Spirit, who is the person you want to lead me to, Lord? I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to fall so deeply in love with you that I'm going to be a treasure. By the time that person comes into my life that's supposed to be the one for me, I'm going to be a doggone treasure for them. Because I'm going to be so close to you.
Yep.
That all that time I could have spent dating. And hurting hearts here and there and dropping this one and picking up that one and spending all that money. And trying to talk into Dutch Treat. With all that time and all that energy and all that money and all that emotional thrust, I could be really close to you. And I just know that you're able to bring the person across my path. You're just able. I'm not even stupid enough to miss it. You're so able. You'll enlighten me that now's the time and this is the person. Right at the time I need it. Read Genesis 24. It wasn't even... Isaac and Rebecca, right? He wasn't even part of the process. Father sent the servant. Servant went over, asked, you know, basically, Holy Spirit, asked God, show me the girl, have her come to the well, you know, the whole thing. And it happened. This is the one. God's choice. Okay, take her. You know, as she's in the field, here's Isaac. Woo! Body! Look what the Lord has provided for me. And she felt the same way. Now, that's an arranged marriage. I don't know if you knew. However, it was God who arranged it. None of this parents thing. They don't get it right either sometimes with the arrangements. In the Middle East, so many arranged things. If they'd let God do the arranging, wow, that's way better. Some of you are married, you're all through that process, and don't even have to worry about listening to that one. But the point is, you do. You do. Because it's the same way with every other decision in our life. We say, God, what do you think? Holy Spirit, what's best here? Holy Spirit, give me the answer. Whether it's in worship, whether it's during my shower. You know, He can come anytime. He's not bound by these walls. Ask believers for help, prayer for you. Help, get help. From other believers. Be in enough relationship with someone that you can run things by them. It's the same thing as getting a second opinion in the doctor realm. You know, if we don't like what one guy says, wait a minute, I don't know about that. We might go get a second opinion. Ask some believers that you trust. You know, one little thing that's a lie that sometimes we step into is we ask believers we think will agree with us. And those are the only ones we ask. Come on, it's true, isn't it? When we're not at our best? When we're at our best, we'll actually go and ask Pastor Mary Pat. We'll face up to it, and we'll ask her what she thinks. But otherwise, it's like, here comes Pastor Mary Pat. Well, hey, I'll just sit over here. Oh, there's Pastor Mary Pat. I'll get this one over here. Do you know that we see some of that? I don't know if you know it, but it's kind of obvious. You should go to the person that will tell you the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a person on Facebook. No. Can't believe. All I need to do is read Facebook to know your lives. You know that? You reveal some pretty big things on Facebook you don't even know you're revealing. It's true. It's true. I don't know why, because you're sitting in front of a computer, you don't think that people are actually going to read that about you. Go to the person that is the most godly one you can find at that moment. The one who will tell you the truth. The one it might hurt after you've talked to them. You know, there's some people in here I respect so much because you come with your hurt or your question or your problem and you know it's going to be hard when you hear what you're supposed to do. And you do it anyway and you get shot right between the eyes and you still come back for more. I have such respect for that. I really do. Because, to be honest, there have been times I've avoided Troy. Because, I mean, he just can hit my heart in such a way with the things that he gets from God, and most of the time he probably doesn't realize it. But just, oh, wow, oh, boy. Lord, I need to do something about that. I've been believing a little lie there, and he just stabbed me. That's why I respect you. When you go to people that are going to tell you the truth, and you're going to feel the wounds. But they're your true friends. Someone that would die for you is your friend. Not the 412th person on Facebook, more than likely. Someone that will die for you. Whoa, that narrows the list. Now, they're going to be depending on the grace of God in order to die for you. Okay. You're valuable, but they're still going to have to depend on the grace of God. But if they are even willing to kind of mention anything close to that, that's your friend. I would die for you. God giving me the grace to do so. I would die for you. I want to help you grow in Jesus. And I want you to help me. That's a friend. Just because you know them and they have a big house and a boat, that's not necessarily your friend. They might not tell you the truth. They might not challenge you enough. They might not be iron that sharpens iron and sparks fly. Face up to your fears about those that are godly and place your life in front of them so that you can hear the truth. Because the truth, you want to overwhelm the lies. Now, you have my permission, if you do not sense love in them, to avoid them. Because people have been hurt by those that don't love and they just zip off the truth and nail a person in the between the eyes and then they walk away and there, it took care of my part. If they don't stay around after you've been hit between the eyes to help you with that truth sinking into your life and tearing up that lie and shredding that lie, if they're not willing to do that, then that's not real love, is it? Be willing to stick around, not just throw out the truth. Anybody can do that and then walk away and whatever happens, happens. But stick around for the person dealing with the pulling out of that lie and help them with that. Pray over them. Help them in whatever way they need. most of us have come face to face with deception at some point in our life. Remember the guy in jail Bible study? He was going to go out and win the world for Jesus once he got released. I said, well, give me a call. As soon as you're out, the moment you're released, take that dime back then, that dime, and give me a call. He couldn't do it. Instead, he called some friends. They took him out to a bar. This was the star of the Bible study in jail. And somehow, he ended up with a pipe and cracked it over somebody's head and was in Bible study the next week. What lie, was he believing? To us, it seems pretty simple. Well, geez, you can't go hang out with the same friends. You'll get the same results. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? He's deceived. The things that he could spout off in Bible study hadn't really reached the place of grabbing a hold of his heart. All of us have more answers than you can imagine to share with each other. But it boils down to, are those answers really our life? That's what's been said the last few weeks. How much do you want this to be authentic? How much of Jesus do you want to really be in you? Do you want it a limited amount? Or you want the whole thing? You want everything. You want to lay it all down. You're tired of the little lies and believing them and living on that basis. Then there was a guy called Candle. Called in the middle of the night. Someone else picked up the phone and they said, there's a guy that wants to talk to you. I was in jail ministry at the time. So instead of saying hello, I listened for a while. You kind of learn that. Little tricks like that, unfortunately. Because people will sometimes share what they're doing on the phone call, what they're up to. So I just put it up to my ear and he said, hey, don't worry. He's good for it. He'll give us the money. Don't worry. I'll tell him, we're going to stick to the plan. He'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. What's going on here? Deception. Trying to deceive me. Pretty cool. All I do is listen. So I said, hello? Oh, man, hey, this is Candle. Hey, I want to go to school. There's a place I've applied to, and I just need a little help with that. I'll pay you back. But I'm going to go to school. I said, oh, what's the name of the school? Hey, I don't remember. Well, where is it located? You know, it's in Canton. Hey, what are you going to go into? I haven't decided yet. I'm talking to a counselor, and they're helping me with that. I said, well, I'll pray about that. But it doesn't sound like you have all your facts straight. Okay, man, see ya. Plunk. The next call I got from him was, he was ODing in a phone booth. And I said, do you want me to call somebody? No. Clunk, 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 clunk. No, man, clunk, 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 clunk. Don't call him. No, clunk, 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 clunk. Finally, he didn't get back on the phone. So I called local hospital in Canton, and hey, I don't know. There's this guy in his phone booth. I think he's overdosed, and what's his name? Well, the only name I have from him is Candle. We know him. I said, I kind of know where he lives, you know. It's, oh, don't worry, we know that phone booth. We'll go pick him up. So they did. He called me the next week. Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much. I don't know what I told you that night, but they pumped my stomach, and now I'm so much better. Thank you so much. Now, isn't it great that none of you are that deceived and wanting to deceive? That's a wonderful thing. But you know how Kendall got to that point? Just little deceptions, one right after the other, that became a total lifestyle for him. I want to see the Lord in us overwhelm us so much with the truth that even the smallest lies in us are getting washed out of our lives. Is that all right? To care about that for each one of us? Because some of you are struggling in silence. And it's hard for any of us to reach you if you're struggling in silence. And when you're asked the questions, you do have a few answers, but you really haven't shared your heart. You really haven't been vulnerable to have some of those lies swallowed up by the truth. And sometimes when you hear the truth from someone that knows it, you're almost offended. Why are they telling me so much truth? I can't handle all of this truth. It's too much. Why don't they back off? They're too much in my face. This front line is on the front line all the time in my face. What's going on with that? Can't they just leave me alone? Let me just come to church. Let me just worship. I'll get over it. Something will happen. Do you know why people are in your face a little bit? It's because of love. Don't run from love. Don't run from love. Kendall had every resource. He ran from love and tried to basically work it his way. Eventually, they stop calling you. Eventually, you lose contact because they've decided that the lies in their lives are what they want to wrap themselves around and not really let the truth come through and wash anything out of their life. So we want to catch all the small things where the enemy has deceived us. I place myself in that place as well. Every last one of us has lies that that Father God wants to wash out of our lives. Why not let him do that? We don't want lies to become deception. Because then you cannot see it. You almost need another person or a direct revelation from God to even bust out of it. A big move of God in your heart to bust out of it when you're in total deception. I remember about 20 years ago, there was a guy, he had a little family, had a child, wife, they were all Christians, coming to church, seemingly doing very well. Sure, you know, they had this or that in their marriage that they could clean up or whatever, but they're after God, they're after his word, they're in Bible studies, and suddenly the wife leaves and starts shacking up with a guy recent released from jail who was definitely not Christian in any way, shape, or form. Starts shacking up with this guy. So the husband, you know, bringing his child to church by himself, is distraught. He's like, what is going on? She won't even talk to me. And when she does talk to me, she just lies. She blatantly lies to me. Deception. Such deception. She ends up divorcing him to be with this guy. Incredible. Where did that come from? You know, no cry of, gee, we could use a little work in our marriage, or, gee, I'm not feeling valuable as a Christian or as a wife, or no cries of that to any of the ones around her that cared about her life. She was suffering in silence something. She was wrapping herself around some little lie that led to a big step of adultery. How does that happen? Is it real? Can we face it as the Church of Jesus Christ? Of course we can. We have to look for the signs. People drawing away a little bit. People not able to face us and just kind of trying to slip out. And go after those people and love on them. Some of you see it better than I do. And you see someone starting to slip a little bit. You're not trying to judge them. You just see they've taken a little bit of a slide and you go after them. You give them a call. You text them. You Facebook them. You say, I'm not against Facebook entirely. I'm on there. You write them an email. You give them a pat on the shoulder. You ask them how they're doing the second time. I see that in this body. And those that are feeling like they are running, are trying to avoid certain, you know, situations where you might have to actually admit that you have a problem here or there or struggle here or there, I would encourage you, let the truth overwhelm whatever lie that you're sensing in your life. Because you don't want to reach the point of deception where you don't know what's right and what's wrong. Where you have no idea why you're doing the things you're doing. Where you can't control certain habits, certain urges, and they're out of control in you, even though you could present yourself as a pretty good Christian in church. So this morning I'd like to close with Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Many of you know this passage. It's a cry unto God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, we can read these words and agree with them, or we can actually step into them and experience what it is to have God search our hearts. And it's not so that we feel judged or condemned or punished. Ah, he caught me. Now I feel better. He's going to punish me. He's going to condemn me. He's going to separate me. He's going to reveal my sin to the nations. It's not that. He wants to draw us into his truth and his love and wash us of the very things that could be detrimental to our lives. Especially if little lies grow into big lies and that lie grows into deception. There comes a point where we won't recognize what's going on inside of us and why we can't get rid of a stronghold. Why not let the Lord take care of it when it's a small lie inside of us? If there's someone you haven't forgiven this morning and you know it, you've forgiven everybody else, but you've left this one, this particular situation, this particular event in your life. Today is the day you should step into forgiveness and let God take care of you. Because you're sowing something into that other person's life. The one that offended you, the one that hurt you, the one that did something very, very evil to you. You're sowing something into their life that can be sown in no other way than through forgiveness. There's bitterness over something. Someone has hurt your life in some way that you just can't get over the bitterness of that. And when you see them, you want to lash out. And it's only the Spirit of God that holds that back in you. When you see a person, you'd like to just tell them a piece of your mind. In fact, all of it. Then let God heal that in you so that that's sown into that other person. And they can be released to see the lies and deception in their life. They can't be released if you hold the keys. You have to give those over to God and let Him take care of those situations. And believe me, He can heal you to the point that it doesn't hurt anymore. I said it doesn't hurt anymore. You're so free. The truth is a person. That person sets us totally free. There aren't little bits and pieces left over. And it'll be a deepening freedom. There'll be a level of freedom that'll go deeper as the years go by. Maybe there's such disappointment in you over, I think I missed it somewhere. I should have been used by God long ago. And I've disappointed God. I've disappointed my family. I've disappointed myself. But if God would have just done this, or this person wouldn't have done this to me, then I would have been on the road to being a real minister of the gospel. Blaming. Accusing. Explanations that are a mile long over why something didn't happen in your life. Those things can be washed away. You can be refreshed, and God will redeem the time. God will redeem the time. You don't have to be put on the I can never be used again shelf, because God never puts you there. I'm too old to be used. Baloney. Wait till Pastor Mary Pat's 120. I'm too young to be used. Really? We have some on fire young people that are standing up virtually without the big youth group around them. And they're saying, I believe that I will have a voice in this generation. I believe that young people will be touched by the gospel of God and come into this place, come into this ministry, be used overseas. I can see it before it even looks like it's a possibility. We have people here that are waiting on God for the person that's their special person in life. That's huge. Huge. Because long ago, most places have given up on the whole idea of God bringing the person. It's the dating game to the max in Christian circles. And that's okay. And they come up with all the reasons. But there are untold lives that have a lot of baggage because of the dating scene that was unnecessary. And for a person to actually believe God is so good, He wants to cross my path with the right person. I don't have to talk Him into it. It's His idea. Marriage is His idea. Relationships are His idea. Male, female, His idea. The whole thing's His idea. Why wouldn't He follow through? I mean, when has He ever done that? Follow through. Our God, when has He ever followed through? At every turn. He does all the time. He never can't follow through. He's got promises He's following through on, but He's waiting for us to believe it. He wants to partner with us. Are you crazy, God? Yes, He is. He's extreme. He trusts you with the gospel of Jesus. Whoa! He doesn't even trust the angels, and they're up there all the time going, holy, holy, holy. And they can't speak the gospel. He leaves it to us. Wow. Starting to feel the privilege here? So if we can get some of these little thoughts in our life that are lies washed out of us today, we can get some more of that. Some more of Holy Spirit. Some more of heavenly wisdom. Some more of making the right decision. Hey, 10 times in a row. Be cool, huh? Big things come up. Holy Spirit, what do you think? This. Navigate right through it. 10 times in a row without a miss. He can do it. Let's pray. And search your heart. I'm searching mine. Search your heart. Father, we're searching our hearts, Lord. We're saying today, what is a lie in us? What have we believed that's a lie? And we're smiling because you're going to point it out to us. Then you're going to allow us to repent of it. Then you're going to refresh us. You're going to say, I believe in you. I trust you with my most precious gospel. I trust you with love to lavish it on the world. I trust you with grace and mercy to give it to people in abundance. You're going to tell us that we're treasure to you. Despite believing this lie or that lie, we're still treasure to you. It hasn't changed. You have a love that overwhelms all these things in us. Thank you, Father. Point out the lie or lies within us, Lord. Point out the path of deception. By your revelation, bring it to us. Bring the truth to us that it overwhelms any lie within us. Help us to step into grace to forgive. Help us to step into grace to not hold bitterness. Help us to step into grace. To end our path of depression. To end our feelings of not being good enough. Help us to not agree with the enemy when he comes to condemn us, when he comes to say that God must now punish us. You took care of all that on the cross, Jesus. Reveal to us what small thing, large thing, small lie, big lie, major deception, Lord, whatever it is, what is it? Search our hearts. We cry out to you. Search our hearts. Lead me in the way everlasting. Take out any evil way in me. Any evil thought in me. Any jealousy in me. Take it away. Bring me the freedom that the truth brings. Jesus, you are the truth. Bring the freedom. Bring the freedom. Bring the freedom that my worship of you will be even higher. I'll be doing it in the car, not just in the church. I'll be doing it in the shower at the top of my lungs. You're that good. You're that worthy of my life. Help me to choose my friends wisely. The ones that will wound me. To help me. The ones that would lay down their life for me. And I would be willing to lay down my life for them. Just as you did for us, Jesus. Speak to every heart every person, all of us, root out the lies, overwhelm them with the truth. We give you the praise, Lord. And we just soak here before you, Lord, as long as you're dealing with us, as long as you're speaking to us. We reject condemnation. We reject the idea that you must now punish. We receive the refreshing of repentance. We'll just soak here in your presence, Lord, as you're speaking to us. And then we'll leave. Then we'll go out. And we'll be lighter. The burden will be lighter. You'll be taking it, Lord. The lifestyle will be purer. We'll be purely in love with you. We'll walk with a lighter step. Because you've taken away what the enemy's work is trying to build up. We allow you to tear it down, and you love to do it. Tear down any works of the enemy inside of us. Any works of deceivers and liars and false prophets and false teachers. You'll tear down anything that we're believing as a lie. We don't want to be a liar, Lord. We want to be a person of truth. Thank you, Lord. We'll just soak in you until you're done speaking to us. Speak, Holy Spirit, we invite you. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, we invite you. In Jesus' name. You're released when the Holy Spirit releases you.
I had an announcement. Do you want me to wait till after this song?
Yeah, probably after the first song at least.
Saw him on a tree, looking at me. I saw him there, hanging on a tree, looking at me. He was looking at me, looking at him, staring through me. I could not escape those beautiful eyes, and I began to weep and weep. He had arms wide open, a heart exposed, arms wide open. Arms wide open, a heart exposed. Arms wide open, he was bleeding, bleeding. Love's definition, love's definition was looking at me, looking at him, hanging on a tree. I began to weep and weep. This is how I know what love is. 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 As I sat there, weeping, crying, those beautiful eyes, full of desire and love, and he said to me, you shall love me, you shall love me, you shall love, you shall love. Love me, you shall love with all.
ago offered this morning of a spirit. I just want to encourage you that what I have found in many years of ministry, that as the Lord's bringing his very convicting power, he's bringing the
job, Holy Spirit, that anything will rise up to try to convince us to not be able to pay attention, especially through the messages and especially at the end as well. People will get up, they'll leave, they'll walk, the kids will erupt. Everything happens, you know, many times at the end, not just at the end. But just to take notice, and if we're helping one another, you know, no one's putting an eagle eye out there saying, well, you've done this or you've done that. But this is what I've seen in many years, is that it's very, very hard to connect, especially at the end. So just take that, and you may want to listen to this message again, even the last three in a row. Just listen to them and make it something for yourself, okay, that God is just, he's trying to really speak life into us in so much love. He really is. This is a season where he's not letting us stay the way we are, because he loves us so much.